Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. I'm Uncle Chaps. Today we are going to have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we went down to Fayetteville and ran into some drama with the deputy commanding general. We thought it was going to ruin our entire rough and rowdy experience, but it turns out that no one actually gave a single tiny smackerel of fucks about what he said to the entire base and the 82nd Airborne, which was shocking to me. Round number two, is emailing the commandant directly a good idea? We have a Marine who did it, and he does not recommend it because he received a punishment that was vicious and ferocious. Round number three, we haven't watched the new Top Gun trailer until now. The first ever CBT live watch on the pod is going to happen in a few minutes. It'll either be great or a disaster. I'm looking forward to see which one it is. Round number four, the Iranian commandos who fast roped into a British oil tanker over the weekend, and we broke down the international incident, which caused a stir on a global stage, and they look like boots while they are doing it. Round number five, does the policy of letting active duty military personnel board flights make civilians hate the military? A new poll says yes. We're going to look into it. And folks, it is shocking. And all that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Starbucks. Starbucks made a huge announcement over this week. It comes out today, actually, in a lot of media places. They have surpassed their initial goal of hiring. I believe they initially went out to hire 10,000. I think that was the actual goal that they set out whenever they first started this program. They just went over 25,000 vets and military spouses, which, I mean, you hear that number, 25,000, and you think that's a lot of people. But think about the benefits that come with that, the health benefits, their college programs, all the things that they're doing, sending money overseas, 3 million cups of coffee to deployed members, 1,000-plus units adopted as of March 19th. I would venture to say Starbucks is doing as much or more than any other large Fortune 500 company that there is, and I don't even think it's getting close at this point. They're really dedicated. You're going to hear much more about that over the next couple weeks, including about their 59 family stores, and they will have 65 family stores by September of 2019. Pretty incredible stuff Starbucks is doing. Let's get going with the show. We're back with great quality this week. I'm glad to be back at home, but Rough and Rowdy was a good time, and it was a time that we weren't even sure if it was going to actually happen. Like, there are some parts on Friday where we were really worried if the quality of the show was going to take a drastic turn. And I want to give a little bit behind the scenes of what happened there. So over the last couple months, really for the last 6-7 months, we have been talking about doing a Rough and Rowdy on a military base. We went through with MWR directors, we talked to brigadier generals, we talked to some colonels, we talked to units all around and asked them if they would like to have Rough and Rowdy. Some of them said yes enthusiastically, and some of them even wanted to have it at their individual battalions or their air wing or whatever, where we were going to have the fights on base. They were going to take place on Fort Bragg. Well, after all that planning, after getting fighters signed up and getting approval for these fighters to fight, at the last moment, things almost fell to shit. And I was shocked. Were you guys shocked?
Yeah, just because of all the planning that went into that, I was totally blindsided. I did not expect to start to hear that, hey, we got a mass email and a mass text saying nobody can fight, nobody can even go to the event.
And basically, if you've been living under a rock, yes, we were down right outside Fort Bragg last week for this amateur boxing event that Barstool does. And the day of the boxing match, because we had active duty military fighting in it, along with a lot of veterans and stuff, but active duty military fighting in it and a ton of military and veterans who were coming to it and military from Fort Bragg coming to the event right outside the base. And so a few hours before the event, we are in a Goodwill shopping for these enormous suit jackets that we wanted to wear because we wanted to dress up. And as we're shopping for these ridiculous outfits to wear to the matches, Chaps gets a text message that shit has hit the fan. And all of a sudden, all these different commands from across Fort Bragg are getting notified that, hey, you are not allowed to attend this event. And for the first one that came through, we thought was just for the ones active duty boxing in the event.
Right.
This text message that came out and this email that came out, like, hey, if you're in this, you can't be. Like, but it sounded kind
I actually want to read the letter that the commanding officer sent, the deputy commanding general of Fort Bragg. I want to read what it says, because we got this at around, I want to say, from you military types, we got it around 1430, maybe a little bit before that, but right around 1400. So here's the letter from the deputy commanding general of Fort Bragg. I apologize for sending this hours before your final formations of the week. It came to our attention that some of our soldiers were planning to participate in this event, and at least one had improperly endorsed this event in his capacity as a soldier in the United States Army. Let me pause there for a second. One, you aren't allowed to do that. So I understand that whenever we had videos come out that said that he was an active duty soldier, that could get under the deputy commanding general's skin.
Right.
Like saying, like, I'm a current soldier doing that. Just like political events, you can't endorse private companies in your capacity as a soldier while in uniform. And one of them did that. And I thought it was kind of strange. But again, we had approval. They all had signed, their commanding officers, their colonels and above, all signed off on them fighting.
Right.
It goes on to say that this evening, the Crown Complex in Fayetteville will host Barstool Rough and Rowdy. He describes it as a street fighting event with local street fighters, bikers, and bouncers, which if you've seen it, sure, there is some aspects of that, but it's also, we want to note that it was sanctioned by the North Carolina State Athletic Commission.
And
it's not some fucking hobo fight.
No, it's not just people just running in the ring and just throwing hands. It's very, very rule-oriented.
Right. There's medical personnel on the side. They have to wear mouth guards, headgear, the proper gloves. There's actually referees on all four corners of the ring.
Yeah, they would not allow someone to get hurt if the fight was going severely one way. The referee steps in, stops the fight. The intention is not for people to get hurt. The intention is for it to be a quality boxing match, as quality as it can be without any sort of real training.
He goes on to say, I direct you to inform your units and that the Army in Fort Bragg does not sponsor or endorse Barstool's Rough and Rowdy fight, nor condone service member participation in this event. Service members' participation in the event may be considered outside their line of scope or their military duty, and the determination of a service member's injuries occurred as a result of participation in this activity outside the line of scope or military duty may result in loss of pay and allowance and forfeiture of disability compensation, among other things. I direct you to inform your service that your units that service members may not endorse or appear in events, and he just goes on to say that again. The part that was shocking to me, and I hate this threat from general level officers or anybody really. Mm. And normally it's not general level officers. Usually they're smart enough not to do this. When you say that it's going to affect your disability compensation, it's such unbelievable bullshit. Because then anything that you do outside the line of duty, like if you go out and you get in a car wreck, that's not going to be on your VA disability either. Just shut up with that. I fucking hate when they do that.
Yeah, like you said, any activity, if you know, water skiing, snowboarding, anything that poses any sort of risk to your physical well-being could be lumped into that. And it just, the ambiguity of the email is a little ridiculous too. You know what you want to say, so just say it. Say, hey, you're not allowed to go. Don't say, hey, we don't endorse or condone, because guess what? You know, I hate to say it, but a lot of younger enlisted probably don't understand what the hell that means, because it's so gosh darn convoluted.
Well, we read it and we were like, so is this just for the fighters? Are the active duty Army fighters not allowed in the fight anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it also all encompassing? Do they not want Army personnel from Fort Bragg to be even attending this event?
Yep.
And we were so completely unsure kind of what the fuck that email meant. But I also felt like maybe it was ambiguous on purpose, so that like
maybe they could catch them,
right? Mm-hmm. So that they covered their asses, so that they could cover their asses and be like, "Well, we sent on," but not really say no.
Sure.
I don't know.
I think it's designed to have the deputy commanding general doesn't have to actually have to say no. I think it's kind of like whenever you're a dad or you're a mom and your kid comes up and like, "Can I spend the night at Susie's house?" and they say, "Well, go ask mom." Like, really, your answer that you want to say is either yes or no, but you don't want to take the responsibility of what's going to come on the other side of that. So you're just like, well, I told him to ask you.
In this general's defense, this was probably propped on his desk by someone else and said, hey, sir, there's a bunch of street fights going on. Because just by the nature of what's in the email, it sounds like he was very misinformed about what Rough and Rowdy is. So he just hastily put together this memo, right, to cover himself, but didn't actually fully understand what he was telling people they couldn't go do.
Well, then, so we get this email and we're like, oh no, what does this mean? Chaps is in a Goodwill looking at suit jackets. Chaps is texting the head guy who's like, curating all the fights and mixing up the fighters because we're like, oh no, we're going to lose a couple fighters now from the matches, whatever. And then as he's doing this at 16:09, now we're only a couple hours from the fight, people, ZBT listeners started, who are on Fort Bragg, started sending us screenshots of text messages they were getting. And this one said, participation is prohibited.
And these text messages weren't from like Joey Smo. These were from the mass text emergency line on Fort Bragg.
Right. Everybody on Fort Bragg got this text. Mm-hmm. Participation is prohibited in this event as it may pose serious health and safety risks for our service members and may be considered outside the line or scope of military duty, resulting in loss of pay and allowances, yada, yada. And then one more text. It says, prohibited. Barstool Rough and Rowdy fight event at Crown Complex in Fayetteville this weekend. And now we're like a couple hours out and we're like, fuck.
And people can't even
and
come.
This is the one. No. This is where the entire situation flipped on its head for me. And I was going to be fucking so happy if the commanding general actually said, and this is how, if I was still a staff NCO, this is how I would interpret this message. If you are one of my soldiers, do not go, period. I don't care if you're fighting, if you're not fighting, if you're just going. And I thought this is either going to be one of those situations where the Rough and Rowdy event is going to be terrible and there's going to be like 300 people in the room, or this is going to be one of those events where it is absolutely electric. Whenever we went out on Thursday night and we had our final meetings with everyone, they said that there was going to be around 3,200 seats sold. I thought when this text message just came out that we were going to be down to around 500 or 600 people there. Well, it wasn't. We ended up having, I think it went the other way that the commanding general wanted it to go, and we ended up having like 4,900 people. It was damn near a sellout. The place was absolutely electric whenever we started, and it backfired completely. I don't think that there was a single soul who got that text message and was like, aye, aye, sir, not going to go. And everybody showed up anyway.
We also didn't want anyone to knowingly disobey orders, because that's not something that we promote here on this show.
I did. It was great. There was a couple active duty fighters that chose not to fight, and hey, whatever you decide to do, that's great. But it was
two out of all of the ones that were supposed to. Only two were like, I'm not going to do it.
Right. And the rest still did it anyway. And I even said to the one guy outside, of course, he was outside smoking a cigarette before his fight. I was like, hey, we were out in the smoke pit. I was like, hey, you know, you really don't have to do this. This is like one night. And he was like, no, fuck that. I want to fight. I trained for this. I'm ready for this. And also, too, like, I thought that prohibiting soldiers from going was insane because they had paid for these tickets for the most part.
Yep.
And also, one final note on that. Right before this mass text message came out, I went to this barbecue place where I saw a bunch of guys I was driving by were in their military uniforms in the barbecue place. So I had like 30 free tickets. So I ran inside and I'm handing them these free tickets real quick. Right after I left, I think, is when this text message came out. Yeah. So they're like, who's this crazy lady handing out tickets? And then we get prohibited from this thing she just gave us tickets for immediately.
Yeah.
So that was neat.
In defense of the general, if you get this information and you got to act quickly and you're totally misinformed, I understand. He has to make judgments sometimes that affect a lot of people, and that's a tough position to be in. But again, he should have asked more questions, should have gotten more information, should have known that people had already been given permission to participate in this event.
But
so we don't have this cluster that ultimately we had.
Great way for the entire Fort Bragg military base to be made aware of Barstool Sports.
True.
Getting a mass text. Yeah. Great advertising for us, first of all. And also, I want to say, you know, there were technical difficulties, all this stuff for people watching at home. The event there, being around all the military personnel, mm-hmm. was so much fun. At the very end, they ran out of beer, and all they had left was Merlot. And you look up, and it's a bunch of young enlisted soldiers sipping Merlot out of cups in the back of them. They're like, it's fine, it's fine. They had the cup snake going. So it was nice to see civilian and military working together on a giant cup snake. So, yeah, it was a ton of fun. A
lot of energy in the building is the best way I can describe it. A lot of energy. People were excited to be there. Previously, I'd only watched Rough and Rowdy on TV. So to actually be there in person was a very enjoyable time.
Yeah. We ended up in a strip club parking lot at the end of the night, so it worked out. It's classic
as
night
most
military time.
Active duty trips do.
So,
all right, let's move on to round two. Round number two is going to be brought to you by CB Distillery. I'm a huge CBD fan, and if you've got health concerns, you need to see what CBD can do for you, and why not do it from this best spot out there, which is CBDistillery.com. I'm a big fan of what they have to offer because their website is easy to navigate, just like everybody else. I've given them a 5-star review, and I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for my health. Bottom line is, if you haven't tried CBD for whatever reason, for your health concerns, for your long-term wellness, you need to check it out, and you need to get them the products from a reliable spot, which is CBDistillery.com, for their quality, content control, independent lab tests, and nearly 250,000 customers. If you have health concerns, you owe it to yourself to see what CBD can do for you. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter ZBT for 15% off. Again, enter ZBT for 15% off at CBDistillery.com, CBDistillery.com. Kate?
Yes, so I was at the beach yesterday, and I'm scrolling on my Twitter in the sunshine, getting that good solid burn, and I came across this tweet that somebody was in Facebook. I follow a ton of different military and veterans, big military Twitter lady, and this person tweeted out that they had been on Facebook and came across this answer. Somebody had asked a question on this like military Facebook group: have you ever emailed somebody super high rank? Have you ever jumped command and reached out to somebody? And this guy, Chris Hushmond, responded to the comment there. And he said, I emailed the commandant once. 3 hours later, I was placed in a car and driven around base getting yelled at by every E8 and above. Nothing but good times at 29 Palms. And people were like, no fucking way. You didn't do that. Absolutely not. Not true. So he followed up this guy, Chris, with
and
the
this
story.
Is, can I explain how this could possibly happen? Because a lot of times, like whenever you have these emails, you have this global index. So whenever you're writing an email in the military, every single person who's in the Marine Corps, because they don't really cross branch, but every single person who's in the Marine Corps, you could search their last name, get their email, and just like that, you're swimming in their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not like the commandant would have an unofficial email. Everything in the global would be right there. So you just put their last name and you can email them as soon as you get one of those counts, which you have as a PFC. Just most folks have a big enough brain not to actually do that.
Right. But that's exactly what this guy, Chris, says he did. He says, my boy said no balls. So clearly I had no choice. I looked up Hagee.
Yes, clearly. There was no other choice.
I looked up Hagee for General Hagee in the email like Chaps is talking about. And sure enough, there he was. Back then, Blackberries were big, so I figured he would see my email on his phone immediately. So I sent him an email worded like a text message. Hi, sir. I was wondering if I could talk to you? ? The commandant proceeded to forward my email to every 4-star general in the Marine Corps with the subject line, who is Corporal Hushmond? ?
And
2 exclamation points.
Can we pause again? Because Hagee, who he is, I think is important in that every single Marine Corps commandant would be known for discipline. But even amongst commandants, Hagee is known for being the biggest dickhead, because it was when things were really starting to get fast and loose at like the onset, really 2 years into the Iraq war, where he was selected as commandant because the Marine Corps needed a huge return to discipline after stories like Generation Kill and shit came out like that. So he was one not to fuck with in the sea of people who were not to fuck with.
Absolutely.
So this is like 05-06 this text message was sent?
Right, yeah, around there? It'd have to be around there.
Okay. Yeah.
In between 04 and 05, yeah.
Yep.
So Corporal Hushmond emails the commandant and pops up on his BlackBerry. Immediately, the commandant emails every 4-star general he knows, just with the subject line, who is Corporal Hushmond? ? 2 exclamation points. This isn't like a ha-ha, who is Corporal Hushmond? This is like, hey, motherfuckers, find out who the fuck
Corporal
Hushmond is. So the 4-stars proceeded. This starts a massive manhunt. The 4-stars proceeded to forward it to every sergeant major in the Marine Corps. When my battalion sergeant major was threatening to murder me, he showed me the email from the commandant, and the CC list had 50-plus names on it. He told me he couldn't believe I jumped the entire chain of command, and he wished I had more stripes that he could take because 2 was not enough. He was also furious about my grammar and said, are you retarded or something? Who sends an email like that? I tried explaining it was more of a text message, but he wasn't buying it. The best part.
I love that part too, where he's like getting his ass chewed, riding around on the base, and like, actually, it's more of a Babadook kind of vibe.
Yeah, it was more of a text message vibe, Sergeant Major. The best part was I sent the email right before Chow. Any seasoned Marine knows you never make it easy to be found during chow. So while the base manhunt was going on for 2 hours, I was chilling in my buddy's barracks room slamming mac and cheese. At 1 p.m., I slimed my way back up, and that's when I was grabbed up and taken to be yelled at by my first sergeant, then driven to battalion sergeant major who yelled at me, then driven to base sergeant major who yelled at me, then I was yelled at by the base general. The base general told me he was upset he couldn't NJP me for it because there wasn't an official MCO against emailing the commandant. He did, however, say I was never allowed to leave his base because a Marine like me would blah, blah, blah. It actually helped me because when they were forcing everyone to go to NCO course in Pendleton, I got to chill. I remember my boy calling me from Lejeune at 5 p.m. that day saying he heard about it. At 7 p.m., the sergeant major of the Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Estrada, called me on my cell phone. I remember tripping out because I recognized his voice from the Marine Corps birthday message that he would drop every year. He said,
"Oh my God."
He said, "I'm curious to meet the corporal with balls like yours, son." I laughed, and then he proceeded to yell at me for thinking it was a joke. Moral of the story is that there's an MCO now about emailing the commandant, so don't do it. There is now a Marine Corps order because of, shout out Corporal Hushmand. I would love to get this guy on the show and hear more about it.
Yeah.
But basically, they scooped him up like the mafia scoops somebody off the street, puts a bag over your head, brings you in a car,
yeah,
and then just sent him through the car wash of getting bitched out for the next. I fucking love this guy.
That is something else. That's quite the story.
Yeah.
Just to succumb, that just tells you what peer pressure really is like. Yeah,
no
just
balls.
just being said, no balls. To succumb to peer pressure when you know something is so wildly stupid and in no way is it going to end well. To still go ahead and do that, that's something.
Yeah. Has anybody ever, I got pretty drunk once after my first deployment and I did the same thing where I looked up an email.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Hey, sir," just somebody from 2nd Battalion 9th Marines, a high ranking officer, "just hope you and the boys are doing good." Blah, blah, blah. I was hammered. And I never heard back. Thank God. He was probably just like, "Oh my God."
So one of the teaching points, actually, when you go to your officer course coming out of one of the academies, is they tell a lot of the academy students that they have to tone down the familiarity that they talk to higher ranking officers. Because at school, like, you could have a colonel, a major that is your instructor, and you talk to them just like you would talk to a teacher. But then when you go out into the real Army, real Navy, you can't just talk to those people as if they're your buddy. There is the chain of command you have to observe. So it is something that we take very seriously. So these emails are not something to be trifled with.
You said that this story has a bad end. I don't think this story has a bad end. You said he didn't even get NJP'd, and now he has awesome story, and that's run through the entire Marine Corps.
I think
he'd say, like, I'd probably do it again.
He's very lucky that it didn't have a bad ending, because it very well
could have. Even though it was a really long thing, what Kate read, I assure you that day was long and full of cares.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was. But that's the thing about junior Marines, too. Like, whenever you're a junior Marine like that, really, staffs are sergeant and above, I would say, getting your ass chewed is another day. Like, mm-hmm. It's just another day. Now, granted, this takes it to a whole never level whenever you're dealing with a base sergeant major and multiple sergeant major. Getting my ass chewed by a general, I would not give the first fuck about that, because it's not going to be effective. A lot of these first sergeants and sergeants major, they're all former drill instructors. Like Estrada, I think Estrada did 3 tours on the drill field. So him coming to you and being like, "I am going to end your life." They say it with a certain level of authority in their voice where you're like, I believe today I might die.
Yes.
Today might be the day that I die.
I may be killed by words.
I just love that there's so many like lower enlisted, like this just took me right back. One, I love that he recognized that it was the sergeant major of the Marine Corps on the phone, because he's like, "I know that voice from the birthday ball message we have to watch every year." I fucking love that. Also, another thing I really loved about this was, yes, he went through a whole car wash of ass chewings that day, and some of them terrifying, like the sergeant majors and all that. But when his buddy from a whole other base on the other side of the country called and was like, "Hey, Lance Corporal Underground here, heard what's happening." The little nugget that would get me through it was knowing that I had just become a Marine Corps legend for doing what I did.
Yep.
Dude, imagine him going into the barracks that night whenever he gets back at like 2300 after his tour of getting his ass reamed out is over with. Everybody, it would be like that meme where the guy in the black guy in the red shirt like leans back into the crowd and everybody goes nuts like around him.
Yep.
And he just like goes into it. Once you survive those ass chewings, all of your peers are like, you badass motherfucker.
Yep.
As soon as you start drinking, if you're at any stories, every single time for the rest of their lives when they get together and they talk, that story will be like, dog, you remember the time you emailed the fucking Commandant?
Yeah, stuff of
the
legend.
The Commandant? Yes.
Did I ever tell you guys that I am part of the Field Artillery Basic Course briefing the first weekend for something that I did when I was in Norman, Oklahoma, when I was at Officer Basic
What'd you
Course?
Do?
I got arrested. So that okay. I had to give my entire class a briefing on what not to do when you are a second lieutenant or a first lieutenant going to Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I was told, like, years later, they still tell the story and tell the students what not to do when they go to Norman, Oklahoma.
There you go. So you got a little bit of legend yourself. Yeah, I absolutely love this. I'm guessing.
Public intoxication cons?
No, it was actually, I can't believe I've never told this story. I was at a pizza place. It's like 2:30 in the morning waiting to order. I was talking to a young lady in line, so I wasn't ready to order when it was my turn. So the bouncer kicked me out. He grabbed me by the neck and the arm and threw me through the door. I stuck my hands out so I wouldn't face first go through glass, and I broke one of the window panes. I was intoxicated enough that I didn't have my wits about me to think like, okay, that's not a big deal. It's not my fault. He threw me. So I just took off running. I'm five blocks away thinking, okay, I'm good. I try calling my roommate to figure out where he is, saying, we got to get the hell out of Norman. Next thing you know, I'm in a chokehold. I get put to sleep. When I come to, I'm back in front of the pizza place with a police officer standing over me saying, you're under arrest. I'm not going to put cuffs on you or anything, but you're going to need to get in the back of the vehicle right now. So I got charged with destruction of public property and public intoxication.
The moral here is always be ready to order your slice.
Yes.
When it's your turn.
Yes.
Just be
True.
Ready.
Good point, Kate. Yeah. Good
Indeed.
Point. Glad you got behind that, Cons, and bounced back.
But Corporal Hushmand, if you're out there,
you're
my
legend.
God, we'd love to have you on the show.
Yes.
That was just a delight to read.
Round number three, we're going to get into a little bit of Top Gun. Over the weekend when we were in Fayetteville, Cons would not shut up about watching the trailer. He said that he watched it like 30 times whenever me and Kate were getting in the car. And we're like, we get it, dude. You like movies. So we wanted to wait because we didn't get into it there. So we are going to do the first ever ZBT live watch of Top Gun's Maverick, which is supposed to be coming out sometime next year, right? Like
summer 2020.
June 2020.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh,
the ominous
boy.
Note.
30-plus years of service. Combat medals. Citations. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years. Yet you can't get a promotion.
Damn it, I didn't want to like it, and I'm already liking it. Fuck.
I mean, all it is a plane going low over the desert, but I have
wait.
A lady boner already.
You should be at least a 2-star admiral by now. Yet here you are.
Because you emailed the Commandant.
Captain. What is that? One of life's mysteries, sir.
God damn, that was awesome. What a great
That's
line.
Not that great of a line. Yes, I could have come up with a better line than that.
In 2020.
There's the controversial jacket patch. Oh.
John Hamm looking like a snack.
John Hamm, just.
Was that Ryan Gosling?
No, it's Miles Teller.
Tom Cruise.
We got the motorcycle, we got the planes. He's still Maverick. Planes doing cool shit. Planes in the mountains.
Watch this.
Twirlies.
But one aspect about this movie that's going to be so much better is...
You kind of set it for extinction.
Maybe so, sir. But not today.
That's a better line.
That's corny as fuck.
Get out of
That's
here!
That's corny as fuck.
Get out
I would,
of here!
Kate, what would you
so
have preferred
good.
As like a flashback to the old movie whenever he says, what was the first line that he said that Cons got a boner about that wasn't even that great? What did he say, Cons?
In this trailer?
When he said it's one of life's great mysteries.
It's not that great of a line.
It's kind
what
of
what would you
line.
Have preferred he said?
I don't know. I'm not a writer. I'm not a Hollywood script writer.
What was the question the guy even asked him?
Basically, he was saying, it's like, you have all these accomplishments. You've been in for this amount of time. You should be a two-star admiral. Yet you're a captain. Why is that?
Maybe something like, instead of like, it's a little mystery, like, because I don't give a fuck about the rules, sir. Fuck you. And then he swipes the desk off.
How about, like, or he takes cooler. It back to the first movie and he says, I think it has something to do with me buzzing a tower.
Perfect.
A callback?
Right there.
All right, a callback.
Right there. Good. A whole room full of professional writers couldn't come up with Chaps just came up with right there. And that is what I would prefer.
Buzz too many towers,
I feel,
Sarah.
Like they act like just because they say something at a certain angle and they tilt their heads, they're like, today's not the day.
No,
like,
it does work.
That's not that great a line.
I mean, he looks amazing. Tom Cruise looks amazing. He says it just coolly.
I saw a liver spot.
Oh, God. Get out of
He's
here.
He's getting old.
For as kooky as Tom Cruise is, you cannot deny that the guy is a full-blown superstar, movie star, and looks really good, especially for his age.
You know what I hate?
I think he's like 60 now, right?
If he's not 60, he was born in 62. So what's the math there?
He'll be 57.
Yeah, there you go.
Typical Hollywood fashion, they kept all the dudes.
Credit to me for that math.
And all the dudes are old and gross now, but they got a fresh crop of hot young women now. So, you know, the dudes get older, the women have to be replaced because we're not as valuable.
One aspect that'll be way better about this movie than the old one is now everything is going to be shot in ultra 4K, probably even higher than that. So whenever you're going to watch this at IMAX, it'll be so much different than having to watch it on VHS quality shit that they had to in the 80s.
I mean, just the technology and the way they're going to be able to simulate them actually flying is going to be obviously head and shoulders above what they were able to do in 1985, 86.
Well, did you hear what the storyline behind this one is?
No, go ahead.
You know that fancy new F-35?
Yes.
It's literally 2 hours of red tape. They're trying to get the plane. They can't. It's bureaucracy. It's held up. They're like, where's our planes?
I think I read that the whole premise is that the force is moving to unmanned planes, and that guys like Maverick are going to just be phased out of the military and made obsolete. So,
which will probably happen, honestly, at some point.
At some
point. That kind of shit is going to happen.
But not today, sir.
I read an article today that there is going to be – that they are trying out tanks that are remote control. Like,
yep.
That are completely – there's no people in it. Because if you could – but then what's the point of – I guess, like, rooting for blood loss is not a great thing. But how is that going to – it's just going to – everybody's army that's the best is going to have the most money and can buy the most shit?
Basically.
Like, that's – Best technology, best money, best shit.
Right. Whoever has the best technology and can train their people the best.
Whoever's got the coolest robots. Which, I will say, I'll be sad when guys like John Hamm start getting phased out because that's
John Hamm's got some rank on
I
two-star
just
admiral.
Smother that in honey baked. I just want to
think about
roll that ham around.
Smear him on a biscuit.
I think that point of it though is a little unrealistic. Let's say Maverick was a lieutenant, which is an O3 in the Navy during the first Top Gun, so presumably he was in 3 years at that point. So he's in, comes in 82. So he's 37 years in the military and he's only a captain. Don't you think he'd be forced retired by then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Unless he's a really skilled pilot, they could keep him around too for being a subject matter expert. But I also don't see very many captains being the one who actually flies. Usually, if you're a lieutenant commander, that's your last time really flying. You're not really flying much as even a commander in 05.
Right.
Yeah. Also, a couple other things. One, if there's no volleyball scene in the next one,
There was in the trailer.
I didn't see a fucking volleyball.
You gotta keep your eyes open, Catherine. There was a volleyball scene.
It was there.
Oh my God,
that's
really?
Dude was out and his titties were popping.
Not only that, there was a remake with Goose's son playing Great Balls of Fire.
R.I.P. Goose.
Oh my God.
R.I.P. Goose.
Well, I missed all that somehow. I don't know what happened there.
Brick by brick, Goose.
Also, a little controversy popped up over the weekend here because of the jacket, the famous leather jacket that Tom Cruise wore in the first movie, you know, the classic bomber jacket style that's still popular today in some spots. Because of that film specifically, I think. But on the back of the initial jacket, there was a, what was it? The flag for Japan and Taiwan. And that has been replaced with unidentifiable symbols in the same color scheme. First of all, shout out to the nerds who pay close enough attention
Love
to
that.
Notice
Love
that. But yeah, it's
the
same jacket.
Stuff like that.
But they're saying, because China now, over the last decade, has become such a giant in film production and in financing. So Tencent is one of the main companies backing this film, and Tencent's a Chinese company. My cousin actually works for them. But yeah, so they say that to appease China, they took out those symbols. And in a lot of movies actually recently were changing things and like appeasing China and putting them in a good light because they're funding so many of our films. So they're getting in our heads, guys. They're getting in our heads.
No, I just think it's people. It's a case of people making movies that just don't care about that stuff. So they're like, oh, we just need the money to make this film. They don't care where it comes
from.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. It's a...
And I honestly, I mean, a detail like that, I don't really care.
Yeah. But, so they're saying,
I think it was great. I'm excited.
They're saying that little patch on the jacket is proof that Hollywood investors are avoiding storylines, characters, and visual elements just to appease Beijing authorities and nationalistic segments of the Chinese audience. I don't know. I just want volleyball, motorcycles, and John Hamm.
Did you see Miles Teller shirtless? He looked phenomenal.
John Hamm. You know what John Hamm needs to wear. You know those little khaki shorts that the Navy SEALs always swim in.
Yes.
We need that scene with John Hamm.
That might,
with his absolute hammer, his wrench just sitting there, just ready to take off a full-blown tire.
Yeah, if we do that, it's going to get an NC-17 rating without question, and we don't want that. So we got to keep everyone safe from John Hamm's hammer.
Those are the perfect
shorts. I honest to God think just his dick alone, John Hamm's dick deserves a silver star.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I agree. Also, I just, another note of this, because I was doing some Top Gun Googling. Do you know this film for the Air Force? How much do you think their recruitment spiked? Or the Navy?
Air Force and Navy.
The Navy.
But oh, just, huge.
Just in general. Just in general, though, they said in movie theaters when this came out, it was such a smash hit, they had a deal because sometimes, like, the movies work with the military to, like, hey, if you put us in this certain light, we'll let you use our tanks and our planes and our this and our that.
Right.
So it's like, as long as you show us in the right light kind of thing. But at the end of that film, recruiters would actually walk out. The lights of the theater would come back on, and recruiters would be there in the audience for all the young men
who had
been watching it. Mm-hmm. That is a true story. That is how their numbers, like, went way up.
Oh, they skyrocketed after this movie.
Yeah.
So many, I mean, you ask just about any pilot our age, or a lot of them in the Navy, and they will say Top Gun had something to do with them wanting to join the Navy.
Now, I think at the end
I mean, our guy Kinziger even talks about that, and he's in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah. A huge effect on people. Now, I think at the end of every Pornhub video, they should be like, hey, son, hope that was a good come, thinking about the military? Like, I feel like that would be a good way to recruit.
Okay.
They're struggling with numbers.
Okay.
We got to find a new Top Gun.
All right.
Anyway, John Hamm.
All right, let's move on to round four.
As you know, we were traveling all last week, and when I'm stuck in airports, on the planes, everything, I can't smoke. Luckily, Lucy is the kind of boost of nicotine that you can enjoy anywhere, and you can check out the powerful, long-lasting flavors of Lucy gum at lucy.co. Lucy serves up that nicotine buzz you know and love without the thick clouds of smoke or fruity vapors. No more tobacco-stained teeth or smoky clothes. No more shamefully pulling on that vape at the office or classy function. Lucy was designed by a team of scientists from Harvard, Stanford, and Caltech who used to smoke, so they get it too. They reimagine what nicotine could be, 4 milligrams of clean nicotine and food-grade ingredients that provide a buzz you can enjoy anywhere, even in the office. And actually, I had guys asking me this weekend, they were like, do you really do that stuff? And I pulled it out of my bag. I'm like, yes, I do. Indeed, I do. Because there's three delicious flavors. I had the pomegranate one on me this weekend, but cinnamon, pomegranate, and citrus mint. But make sure you use it the right way. You just chew it a few times and then stick it against your gum. I've said this a couple times now, but if you chew it too much, like I did the first time, the nicotine is strong. So you just chew it a little bit, put it in your cheek, put it in your gums. And then when you need that boost again, you just chew it some more time. So it's long lasting and the nicotine really hits you good. Use the discount code Barstool to get 10% off your first purchase. That's lucy.co, promo code Barstool, 10% off. Round four, drama in the Strait of Hormuz as per usual. This time, Iran took one of the UK's oil tankers in response to an incident on July 4th when Britain took one of Iran's tankers, saying they were smuggling oil to Syria off the coast of Gibraltar. And in this video that has been released, the whole thing was captured on film, but the UK tanker is going through the Strait of Hormuz. Next thing you know, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is kind of like their commandos, like Iran's Navy SEALs of sorts, they rappel down from helicopters and seize the tanker in apparent retaliation for that July 4th incident. And Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, is speaking out saying it was seized under false and illegal pretenses and that the Iranians should release it and its crew. And in a flex, too, Iran took the British flag down from the tanker and hoisted their own flag. They're saying that the people on the ship are safe, but they're not releasing them, it sounds like, anytime soon. And basically, this is Iran flexing because they're pissed, one, about that July 4th incident again, and also about the U.S. downing a drone last week, like a surveillance drone kind of thing. And basically, tensions are just rising and rising and rising. They're super angry that we have all these, what do you call them, like in place to keep them?
Sanctions.
Sanctions. Yeah, we have all these sanctions in place on them that are really hurting them. But their one place where we got that stranglehold on them, their stranglehold is on that Strait of Hormuz, where all the oil tankers have to go, all the shipping, like such a huge major shipping lane for everybody. And that's their one point that they can really fuck with us. And they are absolutely fucking with us on that Strait. So tensions are
And normally
high.
Whenever you're an international power, your ability to put sanction is economic. But basically, the United States has put every single sanction that you can on Iran already. Mm-hmm. And things are getting even worse because just this morning, Iran announced that they had 17 possible CIA connections of people who were working in Iran to do like spying on their nuclear facilities, and some of whom they actually are going to put to death. They gave them the death penalty, or they said that they were going to. So that's 17 people who are not necessarily directly connected to the CIA, but are certainly CIA assets. The Secretary of State Pompeo said that he said that Iran is known for lying. He's not even sure if they have any of these people at all. Things are getting fucking tense all over the place. But from Task and First Purpose, they said that before the ship was boarded, an English-speaking Iranian officer called to the tanker over and said, if you obey, you'll be safe. Alter your course 360 degrees immediately over. Now, what do you guys, naval terms, what do you think turn it 360 degrees? What do you think that means?
Well,
isn't that a circle?
Yeah, it's a
full
circle.
I'm not good
circle.
At math. Why would they want them to spin it in a circle? I don't understand.
Yes. I was glad to be able to show off my boating knowledge. They are not talking about the 360 for your individual ship. They're saying put your course at 360, which is due north. So there is a lot of confusion in this article about what that actually means. They're not saying do a full circle. Whenever you tell somebody to make a nautical turn in order so you don't have to know if their bow is pointing a certain way or their stern is pointing a certain way, you just say go 365,
go
20 degrees, go 15 degrees. Yep. Like, so you just go 360. This just means just go straight north.
Got it.
I thought they were like, spin that boat, bitch. Show us what your tanker, show us what that tanker do.
This has got to be really scary for those guys on those ships, though, just because they're not trained to deal with commandos boarding their ship.
Before that happened. Sorry, go ahead.
And a last note about that is because you're sitting there, you are surrounded. They're not just surrounded by helicopters with commandos ripping down fast ropes and doing a really shitty job, I might add. Some of the worst fast roping I've ever seen, if you haven't seen this video.
You know what
I could... It's terrible. It's more like slow rope.
All I could think of when I was watching that video, these guys coming down the rope, was the video getting the curb, your enthusiasm treatment, because that's what it looked like, how bad it was.
It was really, really bad. But these guys are surrounded. They have several different Iranian boats, their Coast Guard or their Navy, surrounding these people, like whenever they're going in the tanker. They don't have weapons and shit like that to defend themselves. A British warship advised the tanker to maintain its course through the, even though the Royal Navy was not close enough to offer protection. Imagine getting that command as the captain, like, and you are like, you want us to do what now? You want us to disobey these people who are coming with guns and helicopters and surrounded, and you say that you'll protect us when you're nowhere near us?
Right.
Like, in order to follow that instruction, that is crazy town. Mm-hmm. Crazy town.
But I don't know that you have many options but to obey it. So that's what makes it even scarier.
Well, I love that. So Iran called to this oil tanker over the radio and was like, alter your course 360 degrees immediately, which is, as Chap said, like, turn back around and come to us. We're all surrounding you here. And the British officer aboard the ship was like, okay, but real quick, please confirm that you're not intending to, like, board or anything like that. And they were like, Yeah. We're just doing a transit passage recognized in an international strait. So you're fine. And basically the Iran saying, no challenge intended. We just want to look for security reasons. Yep. And the British ship's like, are you sure about that? And they're like, yeah. And then they like did that slow motion board. So I just like the whole conversation was like they both knew what was going on, but neither was saying it. Mm-hmm. Very polite, very British. You're not coming on, are you? No.
Heavens, no.
Of course not.
Hopefully. Oh, I don't need to keep talking like that. Hopefully that everyone is ultimately going to be okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Drama.
Yep. Let's move on to round five. All right, so we've been doing a lot of traveling on the ZBT crew. We've been going to Fayetteville. We've been going to places. And everywhere that I've gone, I've noticed that every single airline allows active duty military members to board, usually before even group one. First of all, I want to get your thoughts on the record about that. Cons, we'll start with you. How do you feel about everybody on active duty getting aboard first?
So I think that's a very nice gesture by the airlines. I think that's fine. But I think we as a society need to adjust fire on how we prioritize boarding an airplane and the amount of importance that we put on getting on first versus getting on last when everybody has an assigned seat. So just because you're on first, I don't think it means anything. And the fact that we have allowed the airlines to charge us more money if you want that priority boarding, I think is just such a crock by the airlines, and it's not necessary. And anyone who thinks that getting on a plane before anyone else makes them better or is in better shape, I think is just silly.
But how do you think that compares? He's saying people are pissed off that at every time you board, it's active duty military. Please come on first.
Well, that's why I'm saying they shouldn't
like,
be pissed. They shouldn't be pissed because who cares? Who cares? I get that they're doing it as a courtesy to the military, but even as a military member, if I was sitting there in uniform, okay, you let me get on the plane first? What's the big deal? I sit in my seat longer on the plane then, on the cramped plane that's hot and that has a very tiny seat. So why is getting on a plane before everyone else such a big deal in our society?
Well, ask Mr. Fancy Pants, top-notch
flyer. It's a huge
deal
in society. One, because if you get on first, you never have to worry about going several seats back, several seats forward to put your stuff in. You always have your carry-on directly above your seat, which is important. Whenever you get there, you get to get your stuff situated. Mm. You don't have to get up and move and all that kind of stuff. Very, very important. But, Kate, your thoughts on the military getting priority boarding?
I feel like it's more of a thing done out of fear of the angry military community that's like, I can't believe there's two uniformed soldiers sitting there and they did not let them on the plane first. I cannot believe it. I feel like it's more out of fear of that person who's like, it's that stuff. You know, when a baby falls down and if you're like, hey, you're fine. Hey, you're great.
Right, right.
The baby's great, but if the baby falls, you're like, oh my God, that poor little baby.
Yes,
then the baby cries too.
Yes.
Like, I feel like sometimes we're crying for the baby too much when it comes to our U.S. military members. Like, does that make any sense what I'm saying?
That's
like,
a perfect analogy.
I feel like there's certain things, like, lots of ways to honor the troops. I don't think boarding first matters, but at the same time, when I was in, sure was fucking nice.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
So I kind of agree that there's been a change too. I don't know if you noticed it, but I'm going to say it and think if you remember it now. At some point, the airlines has stopped whenever we get some places saying, and we want to thank our active duty military who are flying. Because remember, on every flight, they used to say that.
Yep.
They don't say it anymore. They've gone the other way. I bring all this all up because I just wanted to put you guys on the spot and hopefully that you would step in some shit and get shit forward online. That's the only reason why I do it.
Yeah.
There was no poll about people getting mad at all. I just happened to see this weekend when I was flying back, and this is going to come across as a shock. I have to rebuke the entire ROTC department at the University of Texas at San Antonio.
Oh.
The UTSA Roadrunners Air Force ROTC members, I saw them do it. There was probably a group of 15 or 20 of them. When they said active duty military, you can board first, they were in their little UTSA ROJTC uniforms. They stood up, were snickering amongst each other, and went up and got on the plane early.
Oh.
And I was like, you nasty... nasty little worms. I'm past the point in my life where I care enough to say something. I was hoping there would be that active duty member who comes up and snatched the life out of their little souls.
Like,
but
the
it never
saltiest...
happened. But they're rebuked nonetheless.
Yeah, they're rebuked. Like you said, I'd love to see like some salty ass motherfucker with like, yeah.
Sergeant Major Estrada comes out and he's like,
yeah. No, I don't mind when they do, like, if you're in uniform, whatever, because I can see people like getting real butthurt if they couldn't board the plane. I don't think the active duty members themselves would be butthurt, but I can see other people in the crowd being butthurt for them. But yeah, I think it's a nice thing to do. But I think, again, like, there's way other ways, like, that we can do nice things for the troops. But
I don't even buy, like, listen, I don't even buy the whole, hey, I could get there and I could put my carry-on luggage right above my seat as opposed to a row or two behind. Everything's going to the same place.
We're all going to the same place. I figured it out. You don't get to board first, but you do get two tiny bottles of wine. And though they just slip it to you.
That's a better way to honor the military. Give them free booze.
Free booze. That's it.
Treat them as if they're a first-class passenger as opposed to
the normie losers
who
in back.
To pay for their booze. There you go. If you're of age, here's a couple bottles of Jack Daniels.
All right. Any save rounds, alibis?
I would like to thank each of you for actions done this weekend that highlight the individuals that you are. I'll start with Chaps. Number one, Chaps. When the gentleman in Rough and Rowdy, who I exchanged words with, was coming out of the ring, Chaps removed his jacket as if preparing himself for what potentially could have happened had this guy come after me. Mm. Chaps was ready to come to my defense if necessary. He said, here,
You read that wrong.
Well, let me read it how I read it. Let me read it how I read it and give you some credit. And to Catherine Frank the Tank, who's always, I'll do one. We got back Saturday after, and I hadn't had a beer the entire Rough and Rowdy, and I was kind of in need of a drink to just kind of calm down. And you were definitely tired. You're like, oh, all right, I'll go out. I'll go for. And then next thing you know, we're in the parking lot of a strip club at 2:30 trying to get in.
Yep.
So you're always down for that. So thank you.
Anytime. You. I didn't want you to roll alone. I didn't want you to roll solo.
And well, I am not down for that. I'm always sound asleep.
Exactly. And then also just real two shout outs to two different Liams, ZBT listeners. Liam, the one lieutenant. He told me a funny story. I'd never heard this. One of his soldiers or a group of his soldiers broke a howitzer, and he had to figure out a way to go buy a $2.5 million howitzer. And I honestly didn't know how you would go about doing that. So that was a funny story to me to hear that whole ordeal.
Amazon?
Yeah, probably.
Huge. So many. It was. I just want to say, like, quick one. All the people that came up to us who listened to Zero Blog 30 over the week, my favorite thing when we travel is meeting people who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love hearing everybody's stories.
We had one very dedicated listener that mistaked Cons for Chaps.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Very strange. Came up to me at the bar. I was like, hey, Chaps. I just pointed out, like, no.
And then they thought Bren was Frankie, right?
Yeah,
they thought you were Frankie.
And I almost ran with it a little bit, but I just decided not to do that out of respect.
And then they
Frankie.
They thought I was Cons, and I was like, no, I also just have a fat ass. That's it. But yeah, thanks to everybody who came out down at Fort Bragg. It was awesome. So you guys are the best.
There we go. It's on the retreat.